Our scripture reading, our gospel lesson, comes from the 10th chapter of Luke. And Judy will be sharing that with us, and I invite you to rise in body or in spirit for the reading of God's word.
After this, the Lord appointed 72 others. He sent them out two by two ahead of him. They went to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is huge, but the workers are few. So ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and don't greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'May this house be blessed with peace.' If someone there works to bring peace, your blessing of peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there and eat and drink anything they give you. Workers are worthy of their pay. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is given to you. Heal the sick people who are there. Tell them, 'God's kingdom has come near to you.' But what if you enter a town and are not welcomed? Then go into its streets and say, 'We wipe our feet, even the dust of your town. We do it to warn you.' But here is what you can be sure of: God's kingdom has come near. I tell you this, on Judgment Day, it will be easier for Sodom than for that town." The inspired word of God for the people of God.
Well, I want to first start by commending you for coming to worship. Congratulations, you're here. That's a wonderful thing, for coming and worshiping in this place. Believe it or not, you are no longer the majority when it comes to worshiping on Sunday morning. In fact, you are the minority. You see, the number of adults in the United States who worship on Sunday morning or worship on a weekend is declining. And more and more people are claiming, or not even claiming, a religion than ever before. According to the Pew Research Center for Religion and Public Life, religious affiliation is on the decline. The center found that 20% of Americans, when asked to record their religious affiliation and all the different affiliations, checked the box "none." Now, I'm not talking N-U-N, none. I'm talking N-O-N-E, none. Many of the nones, by the way, are 30 and younger. Our society is the least religious it has ever been in the history of the United States. There's another group besides the nones, and those are the dones, D-O-N-E-S. The duns are the people who have walked away from the church, walked away from organized religion. This group of people, my friends, in their time in church, discovered one of a few things about church. First of all, they discovered that the church seems like it's not very relevant to daily life. They also found that people in the church seem like they're hypocritical. They act one way on Sunday morning, and then the other 6 days, they act completely different. They also discovered that people in churches can be inauthentic. In other words, not very compatible with the teachings that are in the Bible. Somewhere in the past, these folks that are done with the church have been disillusioned or burned by the church, or the church has failed them in some way. And so they are done with the church. Because the nones and the duns are no longer a part of our worship, we are no longer considered a Christian society as a whole. Believe it or not, we are considered a post-Christian society. First time ever we've been a Christian society, now we are a post-Christian Christian society. In light of today's religious context, that which is the nuns and the duns and the least number of people in church on a weekend, because of this, today's scripture in Luke takes on a whole new meaning for us. I want you to understand a little bit about the passage that was read and where it kind of comes from. It comes at a time when, so it's Luke 10. In Luke 9, Jesus is instructing the disciples about what it means to follow Jesus, what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And he's teaching and preparing them for ministry, preparing them to tell people that the kingdom of God is at hand, the kingdom of God is here. He's also doing this as a preparation for his journey that he is about to make to Jerusalem and his death on the cross. In the chapter before, in verse 51, in chapter 9, it says, as the time approached when Jesus was to be taken up into heaven, he determined to go to Jerusalem. He sent messengers on ahead of him along the way. So he's preparing to go to Jerusalem. It takes him a while to get there until about chapter 19 in our scripture, but he takes his time working his way to Jerusalem. And so he sends people on ahead of him. For Jesus, there's this sense of urgency that is happening, that Jesus and his disciples need to reach as many people as he possibly can before this time in Jerusalem that will bring his end to life. And so they're traveling from Galilee in the north through Israel to the south where we find Jerusalem. And he hopes to share the good news that the kingdom of God is at hand with as many people as possible. That's the setup for today's passage. The setup for Luke 10 is about Jesus saying, I can't do this by myself. I need a few folks to go along with me. Here again, the verses from chapter 10, 1 through 3. After these things, the Lord commissioned 70 others and sent them on ahead in pairs to every city and place that he was about to go. He said to these 70, the harvest is bigger than you can imagine, but there are few workers. Therefore, plead with the Lord of the harvest to send out workers for the harvest. Go, be warned that I am sending you as lambs among wolves. I realize that when we think of Jesus, we often think of Jesus and the 12 disciples. You know, the named ones, the ones that sit at the table at the Last Supper, you know, Da Vinci's Last Supper. We think of those 12 that are sitting there. And yet, Jesus has called a variety of others, too. They're unnamed disciples. In our scripture, it says 70 or 72. And they are gathered with him, and he's sending them out in pairs ahead of him to go to the villages between Galilee and Jerusalem. There was a clear intention for Jesus and his disciples because they were teaching and preaching a new way of living that was different than the people of Israel, different than the Jewish faith. He was doing something kind of different, and he needed to reach as many people as possible. For these 70 that were sent out, there was really no list of rules for how they needed to behave. Did you hear that? They were to pack no bags. Right? Pack no bags. Who travels without packing a bag? Anyone? You pack something, right? We pack to go places. But Jesus said, don't pack anything. Go empty-handed. And when you get to the towns that you go to, rely on the people there to care for your needs, to give you a place to stay, to feed you, and be faithful to those folks that are feeding you. What he did was he prayed with them. And he taught them, and that's how he equipped them to go ahead of him into the villages and to share that the kingdom of God was here and now in Jesus Christ. Jesus knew full well where he was sending them. He says so in verse 3. He says, be warned, though, I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. Okay? Not a good thing, right? Lambs and wolves? Wolves eat the lambs, right? You understand what that is all about. It's not a safe situation. There were plenty that they would meet along the way, plenty of people in villages who would not accept the teachings that they had to offer through Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, go in pairs and preach and teach and heal. He gives them the power to heal and to cast out demons. And essentially sending them out with a partner in ministry to do the ministry. It's good to have a partner in ministry. It's good to have somebody that you can rely on to help you with the ministry. Because for the disciples, there was safety in numbers. So they weren't on the road by themselves. There were two of them. There was this support. Support for when one is discouraged, the other can encourage. When one feels lost in the teachings, the other can show the way. When one feels downtrodden by the ministry, another can console them. They were sent out in pairs because they were vulnerable. What they were going to do was a very vulnerable thing. And yet together in these pairs, sent out by Jesus Christ with the power of God behind them, they could go into the midst of the wolves and be effective in ministry. Jesus said, when you go into some places, there are people that are going to hear you, and they're not going to listen. They're not going to pay attention. They're going to discredit what you're saying, and they're going to basically reject Jesus Christ. And do you remember what it said they were told to do when they were rejected in a town? That's to do with feet. Wipe the dust off your feet, right? It's a tradition that goes back to the Jewish people. Actually, when the Jewish people entered a Gentile town, a non-Jewish town, if they didn't find any sort of welcome, they wiped literally the dust off their feet. And so Jesus said, if you get there and they don't welcome you, move on. Move on from that because there's plentiful harvest other places. So just kind of let that one go. It's important to keep moving from town to town and to get to Jerusalem. As I said, at the beginning, the nuns and the duns are more abundant than ever. The plentiful harvests for today, unlike in Jesus' times, are the nuns and the duns. Those who have never heard the message of Jesus Christ, those who think they're finished with the church. That's today who Christ calls us to share our faith with. And it's not an easy task sharing with the nuns and the duns. Today, though, at least here in the United States, we're actually not sent out as lambs among wolves. We're not. It's safe for us to go out into the community and talk about our faith, right? We're not going to be, we don't live in the eastern part of the world where that is life-threatening to do. Instead, here in the United States, we're being sent out into a society of indifference, a society where I don't care if I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Doesn't really matter to me one way or the other. People today don't want to be sitting in the pews on Sunday morning. You know, too much is expected of you when you go to a church. And as I said, there's this inauthentic perception of followers of Jesus Christ. There's this judgment that happens to people, and so they don't want to sit here among us and other churches. The other thing that happens is they want to focus their lives on themselves. It's a fairly me-centered society these days. And they want to spend money extravagantly on the stuff they want to spend it on, and they want to build false community in their media, right? There's a false community that comes on your device with Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat and all the things that keep us connected, but also build false community. Community that you find on your device is not the community that we find as we gather together in this place on Sunday morning or in our gigs or during the week. The bottom line is there's many people out there that don't want the community that we have. Or do they? Maybe they really do. Maybe they don't know how to get it, and they're seeking ways to find it. As followers of Jesus Christ, and that's who I hope I'm looking at in this place, we are called to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ, to carry on God's message of the kingdom that is here in this place, but also carry it beyond the walls of our community, into our community. We're called as followers to reach people for Jesus Christ, to bring them into the community that we have built here. Whether they know Christ or not, whether they are done with the church, or whether they don't even know if they want to be in the church. My stepdad is a Dunn. When he was a child, at about the age of 10, he was one of 10 kids. And they didn't have a lot of money. 10 kids, you can imagine that's one reason they didn't have a lot of money. Mom didn't work, Dad did. And there were times when they were barely scraping by to feed 10 kids and put clothes on them. And there were even times when Dad was out of work, Mom would try to take in some laundry, do some extra things to get money. But they were struggling. And the church came to them and said, "Why aren't you paying your pledge?" They came to them and said that. Well, his mother was a devout follower of Jesus Christ, and she knew that God was calling her to give her money, so she gave her money to the church. And you know what happened? She went without food. And my stepdad remembers his mother going without food. And as a result, he's a Dunn. He said, "If the church did that to my family, then I don't want any part of it." My guess is you have stories like that. You probably know people who are done with the church because of the way their families were treated, because of the things that happened in the name of Jesus Christ, but maybe not so much the will of our Lord. You see, instances like that drive people away from the church. They drive people away from the church and essentially drive people away from their relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's a problem. I want this church to be a place where the Dunns can come and find community, where the Dunns can come and find a judgment-free zone, where the people that are lost and disenfranchised can come into our midst and feel welcome, and feel loved, and not feel judged. Who are you as a follower of Jesus Christ? Who is it that you share Christ with, share your faith message with? My other question is, do you even know how to share Christ with others? Do you even know what it means to share the love of Christ with others? Have you ever been taught to mentor or share your faith with another person through your words or through your actions? Because people learn by our actions, and they need to be aligned with our words. Are you equipped to do that? Are you equipped to share Christ with others? Learning about Jesus Christ, deepening our walk and our faith, and learning how to branch out and bear fruit for the Lord is what we are about as a church. It's what we're about in worship. It's what we're about in our gigs. It's what we're about in our small groups. It's what we're about in our children's Sunday school, our youth Sunday school, confirmation. Figuring out how God is calling us to live out our faith so that we can bring others into what we have. This is a pretty good gig that we have here, our relationship with Jesus Christ. It allows us salvation. It allows us this community of believers to come together. It's our job to help engage people for Jesus Christ. We need to be willing to share with others. And I don't expect you to stand on the street corner. I was at a Hawkeye game a couple weeks ago, and there was a man with a sign preaching with a microphone on a box. Nobody was listening. It was a Hawkeye game. If you've ever been to a Hawkeye game, nobody was listening. They were busy doing the other things that they do at a Hawkeye game. Not expecting you to do that. I'm expecting you to, in relationship with the people that you know, share the love of Jesus Christ. Let them know what Christ has done for you and can do for them? Are we willing to be equipped and share Christ as those 70 did? All it takes is a desire to want to serve. It also takes, my friends, financial resources to make it happen. That's the truth. We cannot open our doors and be the church without financial resources. Ministry staff, pastoral leadership, worship leaders, they all cost money. Utilities, equipping staff, the tools that we need for ministry, they cost money. It costs money to do outreach and to do mission work. We were talking about blankets. It costs money. Those blankets aren't free. They cost $5. It takes money to do the ministry that we want to do in our community, to keep this building going. And this building isn't just a church. It's a tool for ministry, a tool for sharing Jesus Christ. Talk of money is never easy in the church, right? We want to tune out the pastor when they start talking about money, right? Yep, I know. You don't have to agree, but I know you do. And yet, giving our gifts to God is an extension of our faith. When we put money in the offering plate, it's because we love the Lord and want to support the ministries as an extension of our faith and our discipleship. You might be thinking that your money is tight and that you have nothing to give, and yet we all have something to give, whether it's time, our talents, maybe it's our financial resources, but we all have something to give. Know, too, that if you are in a situation like my stepdad and his family back when he was young, God wants your basic needs to be met. Please know that. God wants your basic needs to be met. And he doesn't want you to go hungry in order to put money in the offering plate. God doesn't want that from you. I also know that there are people sitting here who can offer gifts, financial gifts, to help the ministry of Christ Church here in Tipton. My friends, the harvest is plentiful. And because of that, resources of time and talents and money are needed to bring in the harvest for Jesus Christ. Just as our farmers have brought in the harvest from the fields, we're called to harvest people for Jesus Christ. Consider what God is calling you to do with your gifts of time and serving, your gifts of your talents, using the talents you have for Christ, and your financial gifts as well. Pray about it. I hope that you will be generous with your gifts, as God has been generous in your lives. Amen.